Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, we take to the skies and understand the concept of love. We grew up in a world of online animation, and we're digging you out for your consideration, bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan! Hi, and welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is the podcast that turns into an adorable family dog and goes rummaging around in the back garden to pull up an old time capsule full of Flash cartoons.
Now that would be a feat.
Yeah,
well, I hope someone actually does that.
What, turns into a dog?
Well, that, and also, like, digging up a time capsule of old Flash cartoons is something that scarily might actually happen one day.
Oh, gosh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Underneath someone's flower bed, there's, like, a floppy disk.
A floppy disk?
A floppy disk with some ancient stick figure animation.
Is there enough space on floppy disks for Flash cartoons?
You can fit up to 3.25 megs on a floppy disk.
Okay.
Yeah.
We say so. It would have to be like a series of floppy disks then.
Yeah. Oh, for younger people listening.
Okay.
So a floppy disk. You know the button you click to save something in Microsoft Word. Imagine one of those, but real and plastic.
The idea that there are people who don't know what a floppy disk is. Oh, that makes me feel ancient.
Yeah, so while we're turning to dust, let's watch some cartoons.
Let's watch some cartoons. So we watched the first cartoon, which is actually by someone we featured before, Sakupen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Walk, Smash, Walk.
Walk, Smash, Walk. Here we go. That was Walk, Smash, Walk.
Yeah. Like,
the pre-Rhythm Heaven.
I know, right? Like, it really, that was the first thing.
It's the first thing that came to my mind as well.
That came to my mind. It's like, this is so, I think it predates Rhythm Heaven as well.
Possibly.
Maybe, though. I'm not sure. I think the first Rhythm Heaven was, like, on the DS. And the DS came out, like, 2004, I think.
Well, this is also from 2004.
It's either some kind of serendipity, or it's heavily inspired by Rhythm Heaven.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So this is very different from the previous Sakupen thing we looked at.
It really is.
The previous Sakupen thing we looked at being Dad's Home, which you can find in
episode number 5. It was a while ago now, so you'll have to scroll down a bit to find it.
You're going to do that in post?
I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Either that or I'll keep that in as a joke.
Oh, no. But yeah, so while Dad's Home was really sort of manic and frame-by-frame animated and wacky, this is... It's still got some slapstick in it, but it's a lot more control, I think.
It's very stylish.
It's very stylish, yeah. And it's the kind of stylish that you only really see, at least in my experience, in this kind of Flash stuff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the basic shapes are just shapes that you would make with the shape tool in Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sakupen, the creator, manages to put these shapes together in a way that conveys proper personality. Yeah, yeah. I think just the way that everything moves and the way that things sort of spiral outward from the central idea.
Yeah.
Much like the music track, where you have the central sort of metallic clanging of the rhythmic robot hitting in nails.
And it builds from there.
Yeah, and then all the different layers come out, and there are different... It's a really good music video.
Yeah.
Actually reminds me a bit of... it makes me think of Daft Punk's Around the World music video.
Okay.
The Around the World music video for the Daft Punk song Around the World. Around the World, which is canonically Mario's favourite song.
Yes.
Basically has 5 groups of dancers in different costumes, and each costume represents a different part of the song, whether it's the bass, or it's the melody, whether it's the drums, and the way that they dance mirrors the way that the layers interact in the song itself, and you get some of that here.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, every sound is, pretty much every sound is a diegetic sound.
Mm-hmm.
The robot provides the percussion, the little flying Mario Sunshine flood drone.
It does look like that, yeah.
Provides some flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slight little siren noise.
Yeah.
And then, like, the really big, like, it's so pleasing. It's like a mech warrior robot. And it's, I love it. I love the stompy. Yeah, again, I love the movement. I love the way everything moves.
I think if you had to sum up the whole thing in one word, pleasing would be that one.
It's very it's very pleasing. It's very satisfying. It's very tight. It's very self-contained. Mm. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
It's a simple premise that gets expanded on. And then there's tension, but then there's a release of tension.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, it's just nice.
Yeah.
Despite being kind of a picture of a futuristic industrial wasteland.
Yeah,
almost. Where... Not wasteland, but sort of, you know, like the only life forms we see are these...
Machines.
Are these machines.
Yeah.
Which seem purpose-built to do exactly one thing.
Hammer and nails,
or
in one case, or the other robot, I don't know.
The other robot,
it's got like a skull and crossbones.
It has got a skull and crossbones. maybe that's the bridge troll robot. That's meant to eat the smaller robots.
Yeah.
And billy goats.
Didn't see any billy goats.
Well, that's because it ate them all,
which
is why it's preying on the smaller robot.
I see. It all comes together.
But it's good.
Yeah, it's very good. Have you ever seen that before?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Way back when. And because it was familiar to me, and the rhythm was familiar to me. Like, just the central rhythm.
I hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
So, it was nice to see something, like you said, from Sakupen that showed, like he's not just a one-trick pony.
No,
like,
definitely
he's really
not.
Actually quite versatile.
Like, if I didn't know that this was also by Sakupen...
You would have
no idea.
Yeah.
Apart from the good taste in music.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll get onto that later.
Well, speaking of which, is there anything you want to add about the animation?
I mean, you pretty much said everything that I thought. It really makes good use of, like, all the different, like, shape tools that are present in, like... You know, your standard version of, like, Flash.
Yeah.
And he really adds, like, character to it. I think the like you said, like, I don't know if you said, but, like, the music does really, like, bring out a lot more of the character.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It's always, I always really like having, like, a music video, which is, like, diegetic to the actual music itself. That always makes me really happy. I don't really think there's much else to say about it.
There is one thing which I wrote down, which is that when, and I love this, that all the lighting is done through simple gradient shading, and that it's all presets, you can tell.
Yeah.
And especially when the little robot goes into the tunnel.
Yeah, like, that's so good.
It's the kind of gradient where you can see the seams of each of each gradation of lighting, and it's really it's pleasing. You know, like you can see where it all fits together.
Mm.
But
that's not detrimental.
So, let's learn a bit more about this.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's time for
Flash.
Yeah.
So, as mentioned before, we've kind of covered Sakupen,
yes, we have.
Previously with Dad's Home. So this is posted in 2004. It was actually posted before Dad's Home.
Oh, well, there you go.
This is prior to it. It was also in the top 10 animations on Newgrounds alongside Dad's Home.
Oh. So just as Drake is doing today.
Yes. The music, as you said, he's got good music taste well. The music is actually written by Sakupen.
Hey! That's cool.
I searched high and low for a place where Sakupen may have put his music, like, post 2004.
Yeah.
But couldn't really find anything apart from in the description of this video. And unfortunately, like, it's nowhere to be found, but he's written... I've started a MySpace page.
Yay!
Where I plan to keep people posted on my recent progress. You can listen to Walk, Smash, Walk, or some of my new music.
Nice.
Can
you?
What? No. Oh. Because MySpace is not really a thing anymore.
And not his really. Is not accessible?
No.
Oh.
But, having said that, he did upload a music track on Newgrounds in 2010.
Is it the same track?
It is not the same track. It's a different track for a piece of animation that he also made called Titanomachina. Yeah, that's kind of it, really.
Okay, well, we've learned a little bit more about Sacopan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say that another thing this reminded me of, especially now that I know he made the music himself, is Syriac. The animations of Syriac.
Oh, yeah.
Syriac is someone we'll probably get to at some point, because he's a prolific and unique online animation person. Though he doesn't flash, but I think he'd be worth bending the rules for, because Syriac makes some pretty intense stuff.
He does, yeah.
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 We have comments.
We do have comments
for Walk. Smash Walk. I should mention that this animation was suggested for us by one of our listeners who went by the name Soreth or Soreth or Sorth.
I think it's probably Soreth.
Okay, well, thank you, Soreth, for sending this in, because this was delightful.
Yeah, it was great.
So the first comment we have here from the day of release is by Jax575, and Jack says, "Well, this changed my perspective on movies titled in lowercase. Not bad." And,
that's so specific.
It's not titled in lowercase. Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
Way back in the day when it was first uploaded.
It makes him look a bit silly.
Yes. So that's charming.
Yes. Go to and play in 2005 said, "Good, very good, excellent, Evan."
Very good, excellent, Evan.
Yes.
Maybe that's his stage name.
Excellent Evan.
No. Good, very good, excellent Evan.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah. The one armed man with a number one. So this is 2 years after it came out in 2006. Yeah. Said awesome. I love tis submit to song sounds like Eraser by Nine Inch Nails. I disagree, but okay. As a big Nine Inch Nails fan,
yeah.
I can see where they get that from. I wouldn't say it's like Eraser. I would say it would be more like Complications of the Flesh from the We're in This Together. B-sides. Yeah, put in a clip of Complications of the Flesh here. There you go. What I mean?
Yes, okay.
I'm giving you lots to do.
Yes.
Finally, this is a comment from earlier this year, 2018.
Yeah. It's I Am Seth.
Hi, Seth.
He said, "I was fixated by this years ago, still am when it came to me today, and now has greater impact. Gotta just keep hammering those nails, making your dreams a reality."
Oh, that's quite sweet. Is that the robot's dream?
Well, the interesting thing, the other thing that's also mentioned in the description of the video is that the music and the animation, he says, came to him in a dream.
Oh.
Something I dreamt a long time ago.
Wow. That's... Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. It's remarkably consistent for a dream.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be that part of the dream was like that, and that's what stuck out most.
That's true.
Probably. That's usually what happens with me.
I haven't had any dreams about robots, I don't think. None that I can remember.
I don't think I've ever dreamt about... Then again, I don't really remember a lot of my dreams. So.
No, I dreamt about a giant mosquito when I was about 6.
Whoa.
Which wasn't very nice.
No.
But there was no robot, and definitely no ominous baseline.
I had a nightmare about Mr. Blobby when I was 10.
I think we all lived that nightmare.
No, it was genuinely very upsetting.
Oh, no. Well, that doesn't bode well for next week's Blobby special.
Oh, no. doesn't bother me now, but at the time I was like,
oh. Our next cartoon is Metropolis Circuit, which was sent in by a listener of ours named Robert. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
Let's head on to the circuit.
I think it's safe to say that fucking owns.
Yeah, that was so good. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So you hadn't seen this before.
I'd never seen this before.
Tell us your first impressions.
My first impression, for whatever reason, it gave me like really, really gave me like a Sonic the Hedgehog vibe.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, mostly because of the music track.
Okay.
It's kind of evoked kind of. Like early, but kind of sort of some early like modern stuff as well, like classic.
What
Sonic,
like Dreamcasty?
Like, yeah, a little bit Dreamcasty, but also like a little bit like this could probably be done on the Mega Drive if you tried hard enough.
Okay.
Also, like the grinding on rails on their shoes.
They're
like soap shoes that turn into Heelys or something. In much more advanced Heelys. That's how you know it's the future.
Advanced Heelys.
Yes. I've really got to stop comparing things to video games. It's.
I thought you were going to say, I really got to stop talking about Heelys.
Very, and that as well. I wish that was true. I really don't think about Heelys that often.
Which is weird, given the tattoo across both legs that says Heelys.
Yeah, I just really need to get that removed.
It's interesting, because if someone can only see your right leg, it just says lies, and that gives the wrong impression, I think.
Yeah, then I could tell a really interesting story. Less so I've got the other leg out, which just says heel. Or he.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think this is great.
Yeah.
The character design is simple, but I think it works.
Yeah.
Like the girl especially is very cool. Very mid-2000s. Yeah.
Intensely.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a kind of Ramona Flowers thing going on.
Yes.
And she's got the heavy eyeshadow and stuff.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And she smokes.
Don't smoke.
I know
it looks cool.
You shouldn't smoke. You should only smoke if you're in a cool dystopian future. Which isn't ours, which is a crappy dystopian future.
Yeah, we're just in a shit dystopian future.
Yeah. Also, in terms of character design, I cannot get over... I've seen this a few times now.
Yeah.
And I cannot get over our protagonist guy's just fucking square headphones thing. It's like... Okay, so you remember, or maybe you don't remember, you probably remember, back in the late 80s, early 90s...
Yeah.
Half the characters that Rob Liefeld of Image Comics would create were wearing this, like, head brace thing from, like, wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
And it looked like one of those just got trimmed down to be a pair of earmuffs. But it's still completely square at the top.
I'm surprised this is the first mention of Mr. Liefeld.
Is it? Gosh.
I think it is.
Wow. Welcome to... Hey... Rob Liefeld, if you're listening, please write in. We'd love to hear from you. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very anime-inspired, obviously. Specifically, and this is something that's mentioned in a lot of the comments, which we'll get to, but specifically, it's very inspired by Air Gear.
Okay.
Which was a series at the time from the early to mid-2000s about basically, like, extreme parkour. And rail grinding and stuff.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. And like, it's a near future dystopia sort of thing. Ooh. With, like, I don't know if it's a floating city. I don't know. I haven't seen or read it, but I know about it a bit.
I want to watch that now.
Yeah, if you've read or seen Air Gear, please write in and tell us if it's good.
Yeah.
But also, there's one thing which you didn't mention, which I'm surprised by, which is Jet Set Radio.
That was the other thing that again.
Because this is incredibly Jet Set Radio.
It is incredibly.
It's so Jet Set Radio. It's got the pulsing beat.
Yeah.
It's got the grinding. Yeah. It's got the cool baggy clothing on the teens.
Yeah, the style is ever so slightly similar.
Mm.
Ever so slightly.
Yes.
It's like kind of the way the characters are kind of shaped is a bit is kind of similar. Not so much the style, but
no, but like the fluidity of them, the way they move.
So basically, what we're saying is like it feels like a Sega Fever Dream.
It feels very Sega, yeah, especially that turn of the millennium Sega,
like
the swan song Sega, In terms of characterization, what do we learn? What do we learn about our protagonists?
The man has a big coat.
He has a very big coat.
A big coat, mm-hmm. And the girl doesn't like clothes.
No, she doesn't. She seems pretty nonchalant throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like there's one bit where she's speeding away from him. Like there's a close up on her face, and she's just like, But then right near the end, she just like punches him in the gut. So clearly she does care. She's very tsundere.
It's either that or the roller derby kicked in.
Oh, maybe. Roller derby champion, Patty O'Furniture.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that's the only roller derby name I could think of.
It's very good. It's very good.
No, it's not.
It is, though. It is.
Yeah, so she's a cheat, and she'll never let him win.
No,
because as she says, in this city, no one wins, which is great because like it's incredibly so cliche, but like it works because you get glimpses of this like with the first cartoon, you get glimpses of this like
kind of dystopia,
this future industrialized cityscape where they seem to be the only living things.
There are at least two living things though, as we're. There's the last thing, they were just robots.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Although if you've played or watched the documentary Detroit Become Human,
I knew this was coming. As soon as I said that, I was like, oh no.
You'd know that the robots have as much right to life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness as any of us, even if they're gigantic stompy T-Rex robots. I would argue even more so. I think giant stompy T-Rex robots should vote. Oh, also, there's a bit where the guy crashes into some apple crates, and I love that we have this like century-old tradition of the chase scene involving someone knocking over
some crates.
Yep. So that was great.
It's not a chase scene until someone smashes into some boxes.
Yeah. There's a bit where after he's been hit, he just sort of like spirals through the air. Mm. Not even spirals, just kind of like. Hangs in free fall.
Yeah.
And like, that made me think a lot of The Girl Who Let Through Time.
Yeah.
Which would have come out, I think, a year before this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that was a conscious or unconscious influence. Because, like, yeah, Girl Who Let Through Time, by the way, really good film.
Really
definitely good. Worth seeing. Especially if you like running and time travel. Also, I really like, right at the end, you get... And this is something that you almost only ever see... commonly in Flash, which is you get the silhouette, but in like a block color. And this time it was a block color purple silhouette. And I was like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, it's something that is, I imagine, pretty simple to do in a Flash program.
Yeah, but it just looks so...
But it looks really good. It always looks good. And I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. I also appreciated right at the end the close-up on the guy's face where you see his enormous anime hair. And you can't see this at home, but I am gesturing the enormous anime hair with a tiny little curly Q at the end, which I thought was endearing.
Yeah.
And also right at the end, when she says, in this city, no one wins, she's holding her... She's got her cigarette half smoked down, but the wrong end is lit this time.
Oh, you're right.
At the beginning of the film, she lights a cigarette... Normally,
and then
right at the end,
went very wrong.
Why is the filter
something
lit?
Went very wrong when she was skating?
Yeah, that's what smoking does to you. You shouldn't smoke.
Don't smoke.
If you're listening, don't smoke.
It's not big or clever.
Yeah. So, shall we educate ourselves on the origins of Metropolis Circuit?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, it's time for some Flash. So. Metropolis Circuit came out in 2007, end of 2007, and it was pretty damn popular for obvious reasons. It was also highly anticipated because it had been announced on the creator DeviantArt a few months beforehand. Mm-hmm. The creator being Artil, R-T-I-L, who was a prolific Flash producer, who made a lot of animations, both serious and less serious, in the early to mid-2000s, including some parody series, such as Pallid Fingers, and was pretty popular. Has not been active on Newgrounds for a while, but is still very active on their DeviantArt and Tumblr, where they draw mostly anime pinups, a lot of cheesecake stuff.
Trigun, nice.
Yeah, they've drawn a Trigun.
Yeah.
They have a pretty large following. You know, they're still uploading to their DeviantArt. Like the latest image was from earlier this month, mm-hmm. even.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's some pretty good stuff there.
Yeah.
Worth checking out. And the song is Xenon by Mr. T. Not that Mr. T, sadly.
Different one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and it is from one of the Japanese Beatmania games.
Wow.
And it also appeared in Dance Dance Revolution Extreme.
Ooh.
And it's a good song, though.
It's very good.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
It really goes along with the action on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, you can definitely see why he used it and why he would want to set something, you know, exciting to it.
Absolutely.
Because I think he really does manage to capture a sense of speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, R. Taylor's still doing stuff. For a time, he was active on YouTube, though the vast majority of stuff that R. Taylor posted on YouTube is Katawa Shoujo visual novel gag animations.
Which is great if you're
into Katawa Shoujo, then go check that stuff out. I'm sure it's fun. And if you can withstand the enormous amount of boobs.
There's so much boob and legs.
There is an enormous amount of boob and legs. But if you can stomach that, then hey, like, worth checking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it is time for the comments.
Yeah.
Do you want to start us off?
Okay.
This is from last year.
Okay, so Google Topa, right? Am I saying that right?
I think so.
From January last year. Lives up to the name. Metropolis is in Sonic, and the fact that you had them rail grind and skate makes it exactly the same as Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. Sonic vs. Shadow. Beautiful. Great music, too.
So clearly, Google Topa had the same mental connections as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hebaz. back on the day of release, September 7th, 2007, said, "Really? Awesome! Words can't explain the greatness of this animation. It could easily be shown on television, for God's sake. The animation and graphics was absolutely awesome. Tom, front page, now!"
Did it go on the front page?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was big. This was big. This got, like, 350,000 views.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's incredibly good for Newgrounds.
Yeah, also, I just like to sign off with Tom, front page, now, because it's like, as if Tom Fulp of Newgrounds is like their butler, and they're like, "Thomas, Thomas, Thomas, yes.
Put this animation on the front page.
Yes, you see these animes? These animes, I wish to see them again. Quickly, put them on the front page. Chop, chop, and then draw me a bath."
Jack22, day of release again. Awesome. Great FBF.
Frame by frame.
Oh, okay. Great frame by frame. And this movie reminds me of a Xbox game where you rollerblade around and do crap.
Yeah.
I think you mean Jet Set Radio.
Well, Artil himself responded. Actually, Artil responded to a lot of the reviews on this, which is quite nice.
Yeah, that's good.
In this particular case, Artil responded saying, "Haha, you're talking about Jet Set Radio Future. I get that a lot, but I didn't really intend it."
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, like there's something that wears influences on its sleeves, however intentional they were.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this last comment comment I picked because it's long and it's really in depth.
Okay.
Sort of.
Okay. Let's
So this came out a couple of days after this was released. So this,
because he spent a lot of time writing it.
You can tell, yeah. So Dosu 13, who is now, I imagine, Dosu 24. Just given the passage of time.
Yes.
Gave it 0.5 out of 5. That's 1 out of 10.
Okay.
And Dosu 13 said, "Cool, but okay, I didn't like it at all. Quas of 10 reasons, my friend. 1. What's the storyline? Racing? Okay, but what made them race? Was it for a bet? Just for fun? What? brackets, work on your plot.
The way I spell it is racing.
Yeah. Number two, the girl's face kind of looked like a guy's face. Try and improve on the girl's face. Number three.
No fucking comments.
Number three, what city is it? Number four, what are their names? Number five, where did they get those Rolare blades? Number six, the start of the anime was awesome, but when the two characters just started to race for no reason, it lost me, and I lost interest in the Flash. Number seven, what is their bio and background? Characters, history, and bio. Number eight, are they friends or foes? Number nine, what year and what setting? Number ten. Number 10, and the last thing you might want to check up on is the mood of the Flash. Brackets, the mood of something sets the viewer going, like let's say this character named Chris joins this new school out in the Nevada desert, and once he arrives there, nobody is there and it's getting dark and he hears sounds coming from all over the school. Close brackets. See, that sets the mood that the viewer is creeped out about the environment, it's getting dark and the viewer hears sounds just like in a horror game, it sets the mood of the player, he's scarred out of his mind. All and all, I still didn't like The Flash, but it was okay, I can give you the tap much credit, but that's it. So what we have here is Dosu 13, who appears to be in charge of programming for a major television network. Because what they're asking from Artil, from this 3-minute video, is an entire show bible.
Yes.
With character bios, setting, world building, plot information.
Yeah.
And also, apparently, they want to make a horror film as well.
That's great.
And I really like that all of this information that is utterly ancillary to the central conflict and the central action set piece.
Mm-hmm.
All of this information is completely irrelevant.
Yep.
And yet. To Dosu 13. And I imagine not just to Dosu 13, but I imagine to quite a lot of people, like, when you see something like this, which, like, properly sparks something in the back of your head, you're like, I want to know everything. I want to know all of this other stuff. I want there to be a world that I can dive into.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think that's where this kind of thing comes from.
I think you're right, yeah.
I mean, which is obviously where we get, you know, the entire history of fan fiction and fan canons and fan art and fan characters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, like, what Dosu is saying in, you know, what boils down to a long-winded bad review, all of these individual questions are exactly the kind of questions that are asked whenever, say, a new Star Wars trailer comes out.
Yeah.
You know? Or if there is a new viral web series. Like, there will always be the people asking all of these questions, and when the authors are either unwilling or simply neglect to fill those things in, deliberately or otherwise, then there will always be fans and audience members to fill in those gaps.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked out this particular comment, because I think it's a nice little microcosm of that whole sort of fandom drive for the wiki, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it would be incredibly, like, good to have, like, a whole series based on that.
Yeah, well, again, I gesture to the
Air Gear,
yeah. But, yeah, I think it's... I think that inadvertently Dosu 13 kind of captured something there.
It's also very funny.
Yeah, it is also very funny because it is basically the game theory of Newgrounds Comets.
Yeah.
Not even it's the cinema sins of Newgrounds Comets.
Yeah.
Who is this? What are they doing? Why is that happening? But no, more power to you, Dosu 13. I hope that you got your... You know what, Dosu 13? Have you ever seen One Piece? Because What? There isn't, because One Piece will answer every single one of those questions in detail over the course of several years of your life.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I made the noise.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was Metropolis Circuit.
That was Metropolis Circuit.
And it was
Circuit.
Great fun.
It was great.
Okay, so we're going to close off with a final short.
Yes.
Which was also suggested by Robert, so thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
This is called Now or Never. That was delightful.
It was great, yeah.
It was so good.
It was awesome.
Thank you, Robert, for the suggestion, because that's a good suggestion.
Thank you for fueling us, Robert.
Yeah. this was just delight. It was so fun. It was so sweet.
Yeah.
It was charming. Mm-hmm. The song was great.
Great use of colour.
Really good music, and the pixel art was, especially with the landscapes, was just genuinely beautiful.
Yeah.
And this, I had a smile on my face the entire time.
Part of it, the part where they kind of like sat on an island with a lighthouse on it, that really reminded me of Fez.
So the three main influences I can see for this are Fez, Cave Story, and Kirby.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, Kirby, because of the star and like the space.
The space stuff that like the idea of these kind of cosmic friends on an adventure.
Yeah.
These cosmic friends who kind of have like a will they won't they relationship, and eventually consummate it with a kiss near the end.
Ah, that's nice.
Which I would argue is incredibly gay.
Yes.
They are definitely girlfriends.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's canon.
Yep.
Yep.
Gosh, yeah, where do we start with this? Like, do you want to talk plot?
The plot confuses me a little bit, because there's a bit in, like, somewhere in the middle where, like, a bunch of, like, negative words appear.
I wrote something that you get liar and guilty.
Did they have a fight, or...
Well, I think
laughing.
So.
Yeah.
I think so. I think what happened was over the course of their adventures, they had a falling out.
Yeah.
But slowly grew back together.
Yeah.
And had a really nice sightseeing tour of Earth.
Yes, like that. That really stuck out. Like, of all the things I wasn't expecting to see today, Christ the Redeemer is definitely up there.
Well, as we'll get into, this was made by a Brazilian animator.
Yes.
So it makes sense.
That makes sense.
It makes sense that. Oh yeah, it's the big Jesus from Brazil.
Yeah. Yes.
The largest T-pose known to mankind.
He's been asserting his dominance for a very long time.
It was like, again, as with, I think all three of the things we've talked about today have been inadvertently, like, really good music videos in and of themselves.
Yeah.
Like they've worked really well with the music. Like, this one was especially, like, had the lyrics on screen. It had
translation.
Yeah, including translations, which I assume are fairly accurate.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to work.
Yeah.
The whole thing has kind of a like a nostalgic summer feel to me.
Yeah, definitely.
It gave me the kind of feeling like you've been out all day at, like, a theme park, and it's time to go home, and you're kind of sort of walking through all the lights and all the noise, but it's just you and the people you came with.
Yeah. Do you know, another video game reference which just sprang to my mind is Klonoa.
I know so little about Klonoa, but I will take your word for it.
I don't know a lot about it either. It's just the kind of the specific colours that are used on the characters. It's kind of vaguely similar.
Yeah. The song kind of reminded me of the band Goldfish, who had a viral hit back in like 2008, 2009 with a song called We Come Together. They're a South African band who have a mascot that's a goldfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, just sonically it reminded me of that.
Well, that's interesting because like this came out in 2009.
Hey, well there you go. I think this is the latest thing we've covered, apart from the Alvin Earthworm reboot of Mario Bros. Z. But this was... I think this benefited from a lot of its forebears in terms of... Because you do see quite a lot of anime music videos and fan-made music videos which do similar things. And a lot of which I imagine we'll cover in the future.
Yeah.
But... like combining the really earnest, charming anime music video vibe with this original artwork, with this really gorgeous pixel work and this landscaping, and a really good sense of atmosphere and kind of and sort of wistfulness, I think it's just great. It's just a good time.
Yeah,
and I'm really glad that I've seen this now because I. Somehow was never aware of it.
Me either.
But it's really good.
Our lives have been enriched.
They really have.
Yes.
And speaking of lives, shall we learn a little bit about the person behind this?
Yes.
Okay then. I think it's time for...
Flash.
Ah, yes.
So Now and Ever is made by Rokan Satin, who we've mentioned is a Brazilian animator. Yep. This was posted in... 2009, and it was front paged. It won Underdog of the Week and Daily third place.
Deservedly so. I'm wondering what kept it off the top spot. Maybe we'll find out in the future.
Maybe we will. Now and Ever is the only animation that Rock had ever posted to Newgrounds.
Wow.
Yeah, the first and last.
Talk about one. That's like the Propellerheads album. From 1997. Yeah. One and done. But bloody good.
Very, really good.
Yeah.
Haven't posted anything at all on Newgrounds since July 2009.
Which was this?
No. They posted, I think, just like a transparent GIF of one of the characters from this.
Okay.
That came after this, but that's it. That was the last thing they posted.
Wow.
So they have a DeviantArt listed on the Newgrounds where, as I have written it, They draw hell of furry art.
Yes.
And they haven't posted anything on that DeviantArt since 2013.
That's interesting because Rokan also nowadays goes by Morgan Kitten.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Kitten is someone I actually kind of know personally. she's lovely.
Yeah.
She's like even more talented than I thought, clearly.
Yeah, apparently. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, she still makes art. She has a Tumblr. And lately, especially, she has been writing hella interesting articles and video essays deep diving into classic video games.
And they're extremely good.
They're really good videos. Like, she goes incredibly in-depth into, like, Kirby or Sonic.
Yeah.
Full of personality.
Yeah.
Animation and all those influences. You can see... Like that love of this kind of childlike aesthetic, and this earnest cosmic world building stuff.
Yeah,
like you can see that carried through into her non-fiction work, and I think that's really cool.
It's really cool.
I definitely recommend her YouTube page is Morgan Kitten with an exclamation mark, and she's got. Tumblr, which is More Kitten, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, speaking of Tumblr, there's one last thing that I noted down here.
Okay.
Speaking of Tumblr, there was a Tumblr linked on her old DeviantArt.
Yeah.
Which at some point appears to have been hijacked
or
purchased by Best Garage Door Opener in Los Altos. Would you like an excerpt from the only post?
I would love an excerpt from the only post.
Best Drive garage door openers are utilizing a steel-reinforced rubber belt, similar to an automobile's fan belt, rather of a sequence to be able to raise and lower the carriage doors. This kind is less cheap as opposed to chain-drive kind, but it functions virtually silently because there isn't any metal-on-steel contact. Since the rubber belt is sturdily constructed, belt drive openers can elevate even the most heavy garage doors, offer years of service, and frequently have a lifetime belt warranty.
Wow. I mean, it's not every day you come across a Tory's Tinder profile. But I think this is the best example yet we've seen of one.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Oh yeah, yeah. It talks about installation.
Yeah.
It talks about 30-year warranty. All,
OneNote.
What? Hashtag Liftmaster garage door.
And that's where you went wrong. No one looks in that hashtag.
But yeah, Rockan, Morgan Kitten, good stuff. And great, she continues stuff. To do good stuff.
Yes.
And you should check her out.
Yes.
Speaking of feedback, speaking of knowing that people make good stuff, we got some comments.
Yes, we have.
We've only got a couple.
Yeah.
But the first one is by Sega Since Sonic 1991, which I think is a pledge of allegiance.
Yes, definitely.
Said, very fast. It was fast, and in Portuguese or something, but it was translated, and it was good.
It literally says at the beginning that it's in Portuguese.
Yeah.
let's see. Zertioff said, why? Why would the star kiss the girl, man?
That's all I'm saying! That's all anyone is ever saying, really, if you think about it. You know, like, you walk down the street and, like you feel it bubbling up inside you, and it just simmers and it simmers, and just, you know, like when you're in the middle of Sainsbury's and, like, you've got a basket full of discount bread, and you just look, you put it on the till, like, and you look directly into the eyes of the guy serving you, and you just say, why would the star kiss the girl, man? And he looks back at you, and without skipping a beat, he says, that'll be $10.65.
I have nothing. I have nothing at all. How am I supposed to follow that? Discount bread, like what?
Sorry, I went to the shops earlier, and there was a lot of bread in the discount bins.
Really?
Yeah, like lots of buns and stuff.
I should go and get some later, maybe.
Oh yeah, and there's one more comment which you picked out for us, which is newer 001. You don't get newer than 001.
You don't.
Said, it was okay. It was a nice animation, but I wished it had less music and more of a storyline.
There was a storyline.
Yeah.
It had both.
Yeah.
I don't get this complaint at all. I just don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe they wanted something more action-y. Maybe they wanted something with some dialogue.
It had singing. That's like a form of dialogue.
Singing is like a dialogue with the deepest parts of your soul.
Yes. Yeah.
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 And that includes the Macarena.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
When you sing the Macarena, you've got to... It's really got to come from here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what was I going to do? He was out of town, and his two friends were so fine. Yeah, so those were our animations. I think we got a crop of three really good ones.
I think we did.
And like three really good songs.
Yeah.
Also, there was a pendulum track at the end of Walk Smash Walk, which I found pleasing.
Yeah.
And of course, thank you to Soreth and to Robert for sending in the suggestions. Speaking of sending stuff in, we have got something that I should address, because this was part of some of the feedback for the last episode. And this is going to be serious time, so brace yourselves. So basically, last episode we covered The Bard's Song, which was an early animation by Michael Mookie Terracino, who went on to be the guy behind the Dominic Deegan webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
And while discussing the webcomic, I sort of glossed over its negative points. I believe I mentioned that you could read up on it on the Bad Webcomics Wiki.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the Bad Webcomics Wiki is unfortunately like a lot of other sites set up to chronicle bad things. It's just kind of like a shitty place, and it was irresponsible. It was irresponsible of me to not check that out and to not vet that, and to not say, hey, by the way, like, if you go down that particular rabbit hole, take everything with a pretty large grain of salt. I mean, like genuinely thank you to the couple of people who wrote in to talk about this, because it's something that we should take more seriously. Because, so, like, I don't know about you, but I've been online for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I've been extremely online for a very long time.
Unfortunately, for a long time, especially in the eras that we're covering, the only people chronicling and timetabling online content, a lot of the time, it was the people who hated it.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, it was the anti-fandoms. Yeah. It was the you know, your Chan boards, cringe culture before it was called cringe culture.
Yeah,
just
like the really boring, tiresome kind of thing that you see you used to see all the time.
Yeah.
Still goes on, but to a lesser extent, I think.
And I want to make it clear that, like, just because something is targeted by, say, an Encyclopedia Dramatica or a Portal of Evil or whatever, like, that doesn't make it a legitimate target. Unfortunately, it is part of our shared history as much as the good stuff we cover.
Yes, there is bad.
And unfortunately, just because of the nature of the research we do for this show, like, some of our primary sources are these dipshit websites. Yeah. I think is the best way to describe them.
That's an excellent way to describe them, yeah.
A lot of the stuff isn't necessarily collated with
a positive attitude.
Yeah, with a positive attitude, or even with a desire to keep things accurate. You know, I should make it clear, like, the Dominic Deegan webcomic, like, isn't a fair target just because it was mentioned on a crappy wiki. Like, it was a fair target because, and this is something I didn't really want to talk about last time, but I'll at least touch on it now, is, like, it was a fair target because, like, in terms of the way it treated things like women and sexual assault, and other really fraught topics, it was just bad. It was, like, really uncomfortable and really, like, sometimes genuinely just regressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in summary, hopefully this made sense. It'll make sense in the edit.
Our bad, we will make sure to, like, properly look at where sources are coming from.
Vet your sources. 2018.
Yeah.
And also every other year.
Every other year.
We're not going to finish with that. We're going to finish with this short email that was sent in by our frenemy Great Joe.
I should have guessed, just looking at the title.
Yeah, the subject line is re, forward, re, very important, all caps. Mm-hmm. And Joe says, "Hi, I have a very important question. If you could only watch iCarly or Tosh.0 and no other show forever, which one would you pick? And no being cheeky in saying you'd watch Hannah Montana instead. Serious answers only. Oh, also emails cursed. Step on, I don't know, cheese doodles forever if you don't forward. Fuck. Your frenemy, Great Joe."
Well, we don't have cheese doodles here.
We
so
have Wotsits.
Thanks for that.
We've got Wotsits.
Yeah, but they're not cheese doodles, are they?
Basically, yes.
But they aren't called cheese doodles.
No, they're called Wotsits, which is a much better name.
Which means we're just cursed.
Yeah, and of the two, I would watch iCarly, because iCarly had actually a couple of genuinely good songs.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go with iCarly.
Yeah.
I never watched Tosh.0, I watched iCarly, though.
iCarly, yeah. Just, yeah. Like, as an experience, I imagine it is just a more positive one.
So there you go, there's a serious...
Also, she had a song on Rock Band 2.
Yes, she did.
And you know what?
It was pretty good.
That song's actually pretty good, yeah. So that's been Flash in the Pan. If you want to find us online, Alex, let's start with you. Where can people find your stuff? What are you doing right now?
I'm on Twitter at Dex01. I post, like, everything that I'm doing on my Twitter, so if you want to know what I'm doing, you should go there. I've just put out, like, a 14-track compilation of music I wrote between, like, 2016 to now, which I basically probably, like, I've got a lot of music, here is some of my stuff that I like the best.
And what's the name of that compilation?
The name of the compilation is Incredibly Loud and Extremely Gay.
Incredibly Loud and Extremely Gay.
you can find my music, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com, and my LP stuff at youtube.com/VNDLP. I'm going to post more Punisher soon.
Yep, more Punisher is coming.
Yes.
And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's at Gertrude P-R-K-N-S. You can find the show's Twitter at FlashITPancast. That's at FlashItPancast. And as we said at the top of the show, all of our stuff, our links to stuff, our links and links.
There's lots of links. It's flashinthepancast.com.
Flashinthepancast.com for all the tunes we covered, all the previous episodes, and links to us on iTunes and Stitcher, where you should give us nice reviews and 5-star ratings, because apparently that does help.
Like we're a legitimate podcast.
Almost.
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 We'll get there.
We haven't advertised mattresses yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But if that email ever comes through, you're damn sure we're doing it.
Yeah, and speaking of email, if you want to get in contact with us for any particular reason, suggestions, comments, I actually have a prompt for next week.
Oh, okay.
So for the next prompt you send in, I would like you to tell us what the first online animation you remember seeing What was the very first?
That's a good one.
Yeah. I wonder what we'll find out.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you can send that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. So I think that's about it.
That is about it.
Until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And remember, for this sign-off, I'm going to quote from... I'm going to quote from the garage door... ad copy. Until next time, remember, to keep the sound levels reduced, be sure to keep them properly lubricated.
Lamb this piece of crap. Flash in the pan!